How many know we're going to put grumbling and complaining behind us? We talked about that the last couple of weeks. Grumbling and complaining, we're going to put that behind us. Because we ain't got no time to grumble and complain. There's a lot of hurting people in this world. There's a lot of lost people in this world. There are enough people grumbling and complaining in the world. You and I have got to be the peace of the world. You and I have got to be the love of the world. You and I have got to be the compassion of the world. You and I have got to show forth the mercies of Him who has called us out of miserable darkness into His marvelous light. And because we have been delivered, because we have been redeemed, and because we've tasted of salvation, and because we've tasted of the Lord and seen that it is good, we can then take this grace, and we can then take this mercy, and we can take the message of the cross, and we can bring it to those who are lost, and those who are hurting, and those who are just suffering in life, that we can be a source of God's strength to them today. How many want to be like that? I want to be like that. I want my life to be like that. Today, I want to talk to you about our past and how sometimes our past has created things in us that cause us to be the way we are moving forward. But that doesn't have to happen. It doesn't have to be that way. Sometimes our past, how many of you here have a past? See, if you've come to Christ, you have a past. If you have not yet come to Christ, you don't have a past. That's just your life. It's just who you are. When you were lost in sin and you came to Christ, your past has been redeemed. Amen? Your past has been redeemed. It doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't mean you're not going to make some mistakes. It doesn't mean you're not going to fail. It just means you have been forgiven. You have been redeemed. You have been born again. You are now in the family of God. And you work to putting those old things behind you. You work to getting out of those things and no longer being that way. But if you've not been redeemed, you still are there. If you've been redeemed, you have a past. And sometimes those things in the past cause us to have great disappointment, dissatisfaction, which causes grumbling and complaining. Remember, we talked about that last week. It can also cause a thing, and I'm not going to go deep into this today. We may, moving forward, talk about this. And I talked about this in great length a while ago, and I can't remember now how long ago it was, but bitterness. Sometimes our past can create within us a heart or a spirit, if you will, of bitterness, being disgruntled, being angry. There are times people are angry and don't even know why they're angry. There are times people are bitter and don't even understand why they're bitter. Sometimes people are just miserable and don't even understand why they're miserable. Well, it is because the truth of the matter is, and because I love you, I will tell you the truth. The truth of the matter is, whether you want to believe it or not, Christ is not at the rightful place yet in your life. I didn't say you didn't believe in Him. I didn't say that you didn't even have a love for Him. I just simply said He's not where He should be in your life. I've heard young couples say this, "Well, I love them, but I'm not in love." See, you got to be in love with Him. There are many today gathering in places like this, small pockets all around the world, large pockets all around the world, meeting and gathering in places like this with many people who love Him, but they're not in love with Him. In other words, they love Him like they love other things. Oh, I love flowers. Oh, I love the shofar. I love the shofar and what it represents. I love helping people. I love music. I love eating. Yeah, obviously. I love ice cream and I love popcorn and I can do without all of those things. That's a shallow love. What we're trying to express is we like those things. We enjoy indulging in those things. We enjoy partaking of those things. We enjoy those things being a part of our daily life. But we cannot love them the way we love Christ. We have to be in love with Him. I can show you marriages where two people love each other. And then I can show you a marriage where people are in love with each other. How many of you know the difference? How many know what I'm talking about? There's a big difference. You're in love with somebody, you do a whole lot more for them than you do for somebody you just love. Oh, I love you. I love you. Do you know how many teenage girls hear that? Do you know how many teenage girls this past week heard some boneheaded guy saying, "Oh, I love you"? They don't even know what love is. You know what they're saying? Girl, you are hot. Girl, you get my motor running. Girl, you are fine looking. Right? If they really wanted to be truthful, Danny, they'd say, "Good God in heaven, I'm lusting after you." But it ain't love. Come on, am I being too real for you today? Have you ever went to lusting after someone? Don't raise your hand. There's some of you I got to keep in check because you ain't got enough sense to keep your hand down when you should just keep it down. I seen wives real quick looking over at the husbands looking at their wives. Oh, I love you. How many times have you thought you were in love in your life till you found the one you were in love with? How many would like to forget the number of people you dated in your past? Anybody? You can raise your hand to that. How many? We all got some in there we'd like to say, "Oh boy, I don't want to admit that one," you know? Or maybe you did some things in that dating relationship when you were young and you were dumb and you were immature and you didn't know any better and your hormones were running and you were just like a dog running for a bowl of water. You were like a 2-year-old puppy in heat, you know, just running around after everything was moving. That is not love. That is lust. It's emotion. Sometimes because of our past, we've made mistakes, we've gone into relationships, we've done things we shouldn't have done maybe. Maybe we've been places we shouldn't have been. Maybe we've partaken of things that we shouldn't have partaken of. And maybe because of things we've done, we've become bitter. We've become hard. And can I just be real with you today? I'm going to be real, real with you. I think there are some times, and this is how I think the enemy works, I think there are times we do things, and sometimes we enter into things that we shouldn't have done. And then when it's over, we've got to blame somebody. And so instead of taking our responsibility that we were a rightful party of whatever, that we blame someone else, that it was their fault that we did what we did, because it makes it easier on our own conscience. Well, they coerced me, or they, you know, talked me into it, or whatever. I wouldn't have done that if it wasn't for them, you know? Well, if it wasn't for them, it would probably been somebody else. We have self-control. Young people, do you hear me? Do you hear me this morning? We have self-control. You can say no. Y'all looking at me? I'll come down, right? I'll come right down there to you. You looking at me? You can say no. Young ladies, until you're married, you tell him to keep his octopus arms off of your body. You are not Kennywood. You either demand respect or you will get none. You either require respect or you will get none. And you young men, grow up with godly character. Yeah, you heard me right. Grow up. I know you don't think you can control yourself, but you can. You can. Treat these young ladies with respect. Treat them with honor. Be young men and women of God. And those of us who are older here today, we need to learn to control ourselves too and not get into arguments, not get into pointless things that have no end, and not get into intoxicating ourselves or doing things that would cause us to become, and then we begin to grow angry and bitter because we're mad at this thing or that thing, or it's because of that, and if that didn't happen, or that wouldn't have happened, or this wouldn't have taken place, I wouldn't be the way I am. And then bitterness sets in, and we become frustrated, and we become hard, and we become angry. Every one of us in this place today, at one point or another, has endured hard days. Some maybe have endured harder than others, but all of us have felt the sting of sin, separation, pain of this fallen world. Many of us live, many people live under a cloud of their past. I want you to just think about this for a moment. You got anything in your past that you're just ashamed of and you're living under that? And there are times that we lay on the pillow at night, driving in the car, maybe a song comes on, and all of a sudden in our mind we revisit, we analyze the situations and the circumstances from a perspective of someone that's been hurt, maybe being a victim. And what it does is it feeds into the bitterness and the anger that we're experiencing. And let me say this to you. You cannot be content in the present. Remember we talked about that the last couple of weeks about being content? You cannot be content where you are now in life when you're still nursing the bitterness or the hurts or the pain or the lifestyle of your past. You need to step out. See, when Lazarus was called from the grave, the first command that Jesus gave them was to loose him. Because although he was alive, he was still. And see, there are many people that come to salvation and they become alive in Christ, but they're still bound. Because they've never been loosed. And I want to encourage you today that the grave clothes in the story of Lazarus represented Ethan, his past. Jesus knew that. Lazarus' past was that he was sick and that he died and he was dead. When Jesus called him back to life and he came out of that tomb bound like a mummy, he hopped on out of there, and Jesus said, set him loose. Take the grave clothes off of him. Because if they didn't take the grave clothes off of him, he would have died again. Because he wouldn't have been able to eat. He wouldn't have been able to move. He would have suffocated in the path. Sherry, he would have suffocated in his past if he wasn't loosed from that which bound him. Are you with me? He couldn't be in the present until he was loosed from his past. Philippians 3. This is good preaching. I'd come to this church. I'll tell you right now, if I wasn't me, I'd come to this church. This is a good church. This is a good church where the Word of God is spoken, whether it's me or George or Nate. We're gonna fire Chris up before long, hopefully, and give him some good God Almighty. We'll wait a little while, but it'll be all right. Yeah, I know. Why do I do that all the time? Why does fire and Chris always come in the same sentence? We got to set you free from your past, Chris. We got to have a different perspective of the fire, I guess. The new fire. He'll be on fire. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. Philippians chapter number 3, verse 12 through verse number 14. Not that I have already obtained all of this. The apostle says to us, I haven't. How many of you have obtained everything you've heard today? I can't even raise my hand to it. I've not obtained all of this. I'm a work in progress. You are a work in progress. We're just every day walking this walk. And hopefully by the grace of God, putting everything that we have into it. He said, I've not already obtained, or have I already arrived at my goal? Not there yet. Look at somebody and say, I'm not there yet. But love me anyway. Love me anyway. We're getting there. He said, but I press on. In other words, I go forward. On to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. In other words, he's saying, I'm going toward the things of Christ. The things that Christ took hold of for me, I'm going on to that. Going on to that. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. He said, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of for me. But brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have yet taken hold of it. I press on to get it, but I haven't yet got it. I love that insurance commercial where that guy says something like, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. I love that line. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Paul says, I know a thing or two because I've seen a thing or two. But I've not yet completely grabbed hold of it all myself. But I'm pressing on to it. I'm working toward it. I'm heading in the right direction. I'm not falling back. I'm not stumbling all over the place. I've set my course, and I'm walking toward the goal, and I'm reaching out for it every day to get to that rightful place, to take hold of what Christ took hold of for me. I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on. That should maybe be a good response for all of us who are Christians. Hey, how you doing? I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on. Hey, how you doing? Pressing on to the high calling. I'm not fainting. I'm not failing. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to speak negative things over my own life or anyone else's life. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. I was able to get up today because of Him. Weary, beaten down. Some of you came here today feeling that way. I said to Pat Liebengood today, it's good to see you. How you doing? He said, I'm not feeling so well this morning, right? But you know what? He got up and he put his britches on. He put his shoes on. Went out of the house, got in the car, and he made it to the house of the Lord. And I said, I pray that while your time's spent here today, you're being able to leave here today, praise God, feeling stronger than what he came in. Because he pressed on. Do you know how easy it'd be just to lay down and not get up and just, woe is me, pity me, I'm just giving up, nobody cares, nobody loves me, nobody's doing anything for me, I've just had such a hard life, I've just all pressing on. Pressing on. That's the way the word. Well, I just can't be like that, Pastor. Okay, well, just do you then. Just do you. It's been working so well. I mean, you got to be like George Jefferson. Move on up to a deluxe apartment. Some folk don't even know who George Jefferson is. Google it. You'll see. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but this one thing I do. We all do well to do this. This one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind. And I like this translation. I believe I copied and pasted out at NIV, I believe. Straining. Because that's what it feels like sometimes, doesn't it? Straining. Michelle, sometimes it's like straining forward. Sometimes you just don't feel like you can take another step. Sometimes you got a hold of that rope in the great tug of war of life, and you're pulling, and you're giving ground, and you get a regrip, and you start pulling back. You're straining. You're straining to make ground. How many know what I'm talking about? Have you ever strained to make ground? Has it been hard, difficult? He's just going to set a fire. Don't worry about it. Straining toward what is ahead. Now, there's good advice. He didn't say straining for what's behind. Do you know we are such creatures of habit? Just like the disciples, after Jesus' death and burial, you know what they did? They went right back to what they did before he called them. They went back to do the very thing that he called them from. They were fishermen, and he said, you will now be fisher of what? Men. They were fishermen. He called them to be fishermen, to fish for men, not for fish any longer. When he died and was buried, they went right back to what? They were just creatures of habit. They went back to what they knew. You and I are the same way. We have comfort zones. Show me the hand of one person here that does not have a comfort zone. And I'll spend 20 minutes with you, and I'll prove to you you have one. We all have comfort zones. For some, their comfort zone is their recliner. It's a recliner. For some, it's a television show or a television series. Nothing wrong with those things, but they shouldn't be your place of comfort. For some, it's food. For some, it's desserts or snacks. For some, it's music. For some, it's relationships. For some, it's alcohol. For some, it's drugs. For some, it's tobacco. For some, it's gambling. For some, it's just being alone in their bedroom. For some, it's just being alone in general. How many of you just want to be alone sometimes? How many of you could just choose today you would be all by yourself, locked in a room? Don't raise your hand. You didn't have to. I could see. If you could have an island with everything on it that you needed and you could take the one person you would want to take, how many would exit for that island? There are a lot that would in this life today. But we pray. I'm not even going to acknowledge. We press on. Huh? We press on. The apostle says to us, we press on, and forgetting the things behind, straining toward what is in front of us. Behind us, in front of us. Because what's in front of us is important. What's behind us is not. What's in front of us is important. What's behind us is not. That's what he's trying to tell us. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which Christ has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. Literally what's happening here, I'm going to just explain this for a moment and we're going to end. Paul is instructing us to forget everything that's happened in our past before we met Christ. Is this really a accurate purge of our minds and all memories? It's important for us to consider what Paul was saying to them prior to making this. Paul had just listed a list of his religious qualifications that to the Jewish mind were of supreme importance. And Paul says to them, he states to them, I consider everything, in other words, everything I've learned, everything that I understood that was outside of Christ, I consider everything outside of Christ a loss. Because of the surpassing worth, this is verse 8, the surpassing worth of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Paul literally is making a point here that no fleshly accomplishments matter in comparison to knowing Christ and trusting in his righteousness alone for our salvation. Regardless of how good or how bad we may have been in our past, we must all come to Christ in the same way. We come humbly, repentant, and undeserving of his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. But yet he extends that hand of grace and mercy and forgiveness to us because of his sacrificial life on this earth, that he laid down his life and he shed his blood to wash us and to cleanse us and to free us from sin and death. The word forgetting in this passage simply means this. Are you ready? No longer caring for. The word forgetting here translated means no longer caring for, neglecting, refusing to focus on. So we could say it like this. I'm no longer going to care for the things of the past. I'm no longer going to, I'm going to neglect the things of the past. I am no longer going to think about the things of the past because I am going to refuse to focus on those things. Because how many of you know the things that we focus on are the things we feed on? What we focus on is what we feed on. Our memories, they store billions of pieces of information gained through our senses since we were born. Some experiences are quite impossible, actually, for some to forget. But we refuse to focus on them. Are you with me? There are some things you're not going to forget. It's been seared in your life. Well, he can divinely take it from you, but most people still carry some of those things. But the key is this. You don't focus on them. You put them behind. You put them in their place. That was a bad place. That was a difficult situation. That was a hard thing. But I can control myself because I have the Spirit of God dwelling in me now. And so those experiences that were so hard and so difficult and even impossible at times for me to forget, I'm going to make every effort to put those things behind me. What it is that Paul's telling us here, in all actuality, is not so much admonishing us to do like a memory swipe where we wipe everything out of our brain, as it is that he's telling us to focus on the present and the future in spite of the past. He's saying, because everything Christ has done for me is gain. everything that was before Christ is not good in my life. But in Christ, now I can do all things. Come on, worship team, will you come back to the platform? I can do all things now through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things now through Christ that strengthens me. I know, hey guys, just take a break. What are we doing? Okay, yeah, let's do that Chainbreaker song. Yeah, can we do that? Walking the same old, you know, that one? I don't know the names of songs. I can't remember them. You know, I appreciate these guys so much. And just so willing to deal with me. Put up with me. I was helping my in-laws this past week doing some stuff. And she called my wife to tell my wife to tell me to not do so much. And I said, no, we got to get this done. And I'm just kind of like, when I set my mind to do something, I'm like a machine, you know. And so she calls my wife behind my back, and Susan calls my phone. And I saw it ring. And she's watching to see if I answer, so I just clicked it off and put it back in my pocket. She said, Sean Lyons? She's not here, so I can tell you today. She said, answer that phone because your wife has something to tell you. So Susan rang my phone again. I picked it up and she said, Sean, my mother just called me. I said, I know. I hang up the phone and she says to me, she goes, oh, I don't know how she lives with you. Oh, that gave me such a laugh. She shook her. I don't know how she lives with you sometimes. But I appreciate them putting up with me. I appreciate at the drop of a pin them being willing to change. And you know the other thing? It just goes to show you how talented they are. And how gifted at a moment they can just drop and do something else. But I believe this song is pretty relevant to where we're going. It's just been in my mind all morning as I've been preaching. It's been rolling through the back of my mind. And so I think it's very proper for us to do it this morning. Will you stand with us? Some of you have walked the same old walk for miles and miles. Hearing the same old voice telling you the same old lies. Can anybody here relate to that? So if you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, you've been hearing the same old voice telling you the same old lies. Today, God has given you everything you have need. Everything you need, He's given you. Do you know what you got to do? Receive it and begin to walk in what He's told you. Discipline yourself, and victory is waiting for you. Victory is waiting for you. Come on, Justin, step up here and lead us.